Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had, so it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And today is going to be, uncomfortable for some, maybe, subject about death, because death is something that happens to all of us, and it's scary. For most of us, because it's very unknown. And the reason why I wanted to talk about it today was because I was at a memorial service this past weekend, and it was someone who was taken too soon. I feel like he was very vital. He was, in fact, exercising when he died. He was 66. So some people would think that that wasn't young. But now that I'm 62, I'm thinking, that's damn young. That's only 4 years for me from now. So I was standing on the beach because, well, let me backtrack a bit. So this guy was acquaintance, really, for me, because I met him through my husband. My husband played rugby with him. And when we were together, we were usually on trips with other rugby players at rugby tournaments, because when my husband and I got back together. So we were a rekindled love. We were college soulmates or lovers or whatever you want to say, boyfriend, girlfriend, sweethearts. That's the word I'm looking for. But yeah, we were college sweethearts, dated a couple of years, and then 27 years later, we got back together. So he was very much into rugby. He was, in fact, the first time I laid eyes on him, he was on a rugby field. And so he had quite a family in his rugby brothers, and I will say sisters, because the wives and the girlfriends of all the players, you know, just as a family. And if you've ever had kids who played sports, you know what I mean, because my kids played sports and we used to travel to tournaments, and the other parents and the other kids, you know, just, it's just like a very close knit group of people. And so John was somebody who was like a brother to my husband. And so through my husband, I got to know John, and John was very, very successful in life. And John never had kids, had a beautiful wife, or has a beautiful wife, and just really, really great people. And so he was getting ready to wind down in his career. He owned a company. He was partners with somebody in a company, and he had just bought a very expensive multi-six-figure boat, and just got a new Porsche. And, you know, but he was one of those people that he had the toys, but he never was, he wasn't materialistic like some people are who have expensive things. And when you had a conversation with John, he was like present with you. You know, he looked at you, he listened to you, you were always better for it. It was like somebody that it was more than just a surface level conversation. And I always got that from my time with John, even though my time with John was brief. In fact, in March, I think it was like March timeframe, April timeframe. And I said to my husband, I said, they had like three different houses. And so one of the houses was like 45 minutes from us. The other house was, you know, like 3 hours away. So, and that's where they were spending most of their time lately. But I said to my husband, I said, you know, we haven't seen them for so long, since before the pandemic, and we really need to reach out to them and get together. Little did I know that I would never have a chance to see him again. So we got the call. He died at the end of May, and I was shocked. Like, that is not the person that I thought that we would get a call that he was gone. And it's so, when somebody dies suddenly like that, it's like, you know, what could I've done differently? You know, if I thought back to like, oh, if only we had been together and had one last chat, you know, you think about that. But there's so much I didn't know about John, because like I said, he was just kind of an acquaintance that I knew through my husband. And I would only see him usually when we went on these trips, and on, you know, every time I saw him, it was really kind of a social event where other people were around. So anyways, but he still made a big impression on me. And I loved the guy a lot. And he's very brilliant, grew this company, like had business in 29 different countries, which I learned at the memorial service. So anyways, I was thinking so they had a service where it was at a country club and it was outdoors, very pandemic friendly, if that there was such a thing. And his partner got up and spoke. And one of the things that was something that I'll take away from that, and it's going to really change me, because now I'm reading a book that they gave and they handed out. So it's called, and it's by Deepak Chopra, and it's called The Seven Laws of Spiritual Success, or Seven Laws of Spiritual Success. And it was a little pocket guide, which in it sells on Amazon. I could put the link in the show notes for you. But he got up and talked about how John made such an impact on other people, and he lived by this book. And I never knew that. And it was like, for me, it's like, I wish I had known this about him, because of what I do as a coach, and because of the kind of the spiritual path I've walked the past like 3 or 4 years in my journey. And it's now that, you know, I can't have that conversation, except I can have, I guess, the conversation with the spirit, right? That I'm reading the book. But it's an easy read. And of course, every chapter is about one of the laws. So that was the country club, and his partner spoke about how, you know, wonderful John was, and it was lovely. And then we got these little books, they were handed out to everybody. And then the next day there was a ceremony at the beach, and I had never heard of this kind of ceremony. So you might be familiar with it, but it's called a paddle out ceremony. And a paddle out ceremony, if you would like to know, because it's, I believe, a Hawaiian thing, but if you Google it, it says the paddle out is an ocean-based ceremony consisting of a mix of spiritual, metaphysical, and ritual actions that acknowledge, remember, and celebrate a fallen peer. It's a symbolic rite of passage that showcases traces of connection and separation, departure, and continuity. So his wife had arranged this, and John was a surfer. That's another thing I really didn't know about him, is that he surfed with his buddies, and a bunch of his buddies got on surfboards, and his wife, and she's a paddleboarder, so she got her paddleboard. She had John in his ashes, you know, on her backpack. And they all paddled out to the, you know, past the waves, and they got in a circle, and, you know, most of the people watched from the shore, and, you know, they shared poems, they shared remembrances, and then the ashes are then poured in the middle of the circle. So John's in the ocean now, and it was really, really touching. And I thought, you know, John would have loved it if there's a way to go out, and, you know, he's with the ocean now. And if he loved surfing, what a better, you know, not a better place to be. Right. So, but I was standing there on the shore with a friend who has been on her own spiritual journey. And the thing that struck me, cause then when somebody dies and you feel it's too soon, what you think is, you know, why is somebody that then made an impact? Oh, and I wanted to say this other thing is that somebody stood up before they went out on the paddle out. And he said that he had met John through surfing. He's a surfing instructor, this guy who got up and spoke. And he said, and it was very impromptu. It wasn't anything planned. And he said that he got news a year previous that he had gotten some kind of cancer. Didn't go into detail on what it was, but he said that John, from the day and moment that John found out, every single week, John would call him and touch base with him or visit him, I guess, if he was around. You know, I don't know if this guy lived far away or was close. I didn't know the details, but he said not a week went by that John didn't reach out to him. And when John did, you know, John was in the medical field. So he was like, do you need a doctor? I know all kinds of doctors. I can put you in touch with the right doctors. How are you feeling? How is your mind? John would always ask him how his mind was. And the other thing is that John said every single day, or I'm sorry, his friend said that John said every single day he read a chapter from the 7 Laws of Spiritual Success. And every day he read a chapter, and that he lived by that chapter that day. And so he would talk to his friend who was going through cancer treatment. He would talk to him about the chapter that he had read that morning. And so he was making this deep impact on this individual and, you know, giving of his time and wishing him well and helping his mental state. And so that was really, really lovely, I thought. So I'm very happy that I got this book. And every time, so I'm reading a chapter a day, and every time I open it, I think of John. I think of what, like his, what he learned from it and how he lived by it. And it's pretty cool that I'm sad that he had to die to share that with so many people. But I feel like I want to honor him by carrying it forward, kind of paying it forward. So by me sharing it with you, you know, I'd love for you to, if you're interested, to take a look and read the book. So, you know, I have beliefs about death, and it's been a journey for me because, you know, I had some super, super religious people in the family when I was growing up, and my parents, it turned the family off to God, and it, you know, it's kind of sad, but when you're a child and you're exposed to that kind of stuff, and then your parents, you know, you're getting kind of their beliefs passed on to you. And so if there's negative stuff happening, then it's going to carry over to you. So of course, as I grew into an adult, I started to like have my own experiences. And so what I believe today as an adult, and you might believe something different, and that's totally okay. But, and I'm not somebody who goes to church, and I probably never will go to church because I, you know, never say never, but, I just don't think that you need, some people need kind of the brick and mortar and the, you know, being with people, and some people were brought up that way and they love that, but there's everybody has their way. And I think it's important that we let people choose what's right for them. But for me, I believe we have eternal life. And I believe that we, our loved ones who have passed before us, watch over us. And they are like guiding angels to us. Not that we know that they're there physically, but they are there. And they do send us signs, and sometimes we see them, and probably most of the time we don't. But the more I feel like I walk the spiritual path and I get present and do meditation and try to get in touch with my inner self, the more I see those signs. And don't necessarily know who they're coming from, but and I believe, you know, when we pass, we will meet again. But I also believe that in my subconscious moments, I do meet up with these people. And you have to, and I came to this realization, and a couple of books I read were really powerful to me. And one was Journey of Souls, Case Studies of Life After Lives. And it's written by Michael Newton. It was a gift by my oldest daughter one couple Christmases ago. And it was so, so powerful for me. But one of the things I realized when I read that book is, oh, it makes total sense. Like when you go to sleep, that you meet up with your, you know, like my dad or my grandfather or grandmother that I would meet up with them, because like we all, if life is, if your eternal life, and then your spirit comes back in human form to learn more lessons, which is what I believe, then we don't all die at the same time, right? We're not all dead at the same time. And then, again, time is a human thing, so that whole thing doesn't make sense to spirits. But anyways, so I thought, oh yeah, so it is, it does make sense. Like when you go to sleep, or like when you're in a coma, or just when you're not conscious, when you go to the place where you're not in your thinking mind, and you're not in your human mind. I heard another name for it. What was the name that I heard? I had to look it up. But it basically meant the mind of flesh, race mind. That's what I heard, the race mind. And I was like, I had to Google it. I was like, what's race mind? And it's the mind of flesh. So, yeah. So when you're in that, in the spirit mind world. So that's what I believe. And so as I was standing on the beach, I had this like download, and it was like, the reason why John left is because John was transcending. He was transcending. He was done with the lessons that he learned in this life. And when we think about somebody dying, we think about the people that were left behind, and how sad for the people that loved him so much, how sad for his partner, how sad for his wife and the people who loved him. One of the guys who got up to speak was like a brother to him. They'd been friends for years and years and years. And so you think, like, that is like, why was that done? Why was he taken away like that? But it just came to me, and it came to me, and it was like, you know, it was like an okay moment, because I thought, you know, John was ready to go to the next level, because he'd learned so much in this lifetime. And his work here was done, even though he could have done more work, because that's what we all think, right? We think, oh, I would have liked to have more conversations with John, you know, selfishly. But in the larger scheme of things, maybe his next level is going to help in an even more impactful way. So as he moves to the next life that he's meant to live. And so that was something that, and I turned to my friend and I said that, and she was like, totally got it. It's so nice to share something like that's kind of that woo-woo with somebody else and have them get it. And then, so I realized at that point, it's not about other people. It's about John's journey. It's about what his soul needs. And celebrate that, and celebrate the life he had, this human life that he had, and the good he did. So you don't, I felt like by hanging on to him and keeping his soul here when his soul was meant to do something else, you know, that would have been selfish. That would have been like, that's not the universe had different plans. The universe had different plans. And then the other thing that came up for me was the creation of the new paths his departure left for other people. So by him being here, and this is me always trying to look at the glass half full. So when you're dealing with death, you know, it's hard to do that. But what came to me was that it's hard for anybody who's left behind who is like a spouse or a parent or a child, or, you know, when you're that close with somebody and you lose them. But I did still think that the spiritual path that these people in John's life are meant to walk will take a turn, and it would be something different, right? Maybe John's not going to be in it. So maybe they needed lessons, and their spirit needed lessons that couldn't happen if John in his human form was still here. So I thought, oh, so these people that are left behind, there's going to be opportunities for them. There's going to be new opportunities that wouldn't exist. And so looking at it from that abundant mindset, if you can go there when it's death, but I choose to, this is an abundant state of mind, and you gotta stay in that abundant state of mind 24/7, if you're going to practice it. And lack is woe is me. Lack is, oh my gosh, I wish he was here. And you can always wish somebody's still here. I wish my father was still here. I wish my father died suddenly. I wish I could still have that last conversation with him, but I can't. But things that happened in my life after he died might not have happened had he still been here. So who knows? It's all a mystery, but this is just my take on kind of and my perspective and this experience that I had this past weekend. I remember this Oprah episode. And I was a big Oprah fan, and I loved Dr. Phil when he was first on. His show is a little bit like he gets into the little sensationalist kind of stories these days, but so I don't really watch him anymore. But I loved him when he was on Oprah because he would do these little segments. And I should have realized back then I should be a coach, because I didn't miss those episodes. And I was always like, I wish I could do what he does. He is so good at getting to people, the root of whatever is going on with somebody really quickly. And so I forget what day of the week it was, but he'd be on her show one day a week. It would be like the Dr. Phil day. And I remember this woman being on, and when she did her final show, she did like her final season, and she did the most memorable episodes. And she had this woman back on who was on that episode. And it was so good to see an update of what happened in her life. But she was on this episode, and her daughter had died, I think in a car accident. Her 18-year-old daughter, and she had a younger child too. I don't remember if it was another daughter or a son, and they were in the audience. And she said that it was, just so, so sad and depressed. And she talked about her daughter and the day she died and the accident and all this kind of stuff. And I'll never forget what Dr. Phil said. Dr. Phil said, "You are choosing to dwell on the day your daughter died. Of all the days that your daughter was alive, you choose to dwell on the day that she died. Instead of all of the days she lived." And so what an abundant way to look at things, right? She was looking with this lack mindset on the loss and the accident, and we relive things like accidents, like what if I had done this and this wouldn't have happened. And then she wasn't appreciating and looking for the abundance and the life that her daughter provided and gave to her. So that was really powerful. And I remember looking at that one, you could see like a whole change in her demeanor. Like the light went on, the light in her face, the light bulb in her head, it just like changed everything for her. That's the very simple comment, just a very simple reframe that Dr. Phil gave her that day. And then when she was on in the redo, I think they had done a mini episode, like follow up with her prior, because I remember like that she had said that day, She was excited about going to the Oprah show, but she had decided that she was going to kill herself. And so that was going to be her last big like trip. And then that was going to be like, she was like wrapping things up in her life. And it was so good to see her like several years later when they did the revisiting show, and to see her child, her child who had lived. That child's life, Dr. Phil changed that child's life by helping his mom that day. It was so, so powerful. And so she was like a different person just because she took that reframe and moved into a state of abundance. So that's my episode for today. I hope it wasn't a little too like crazy and weird. You know, I'm a work in progress, but I've come so far from where I used to be, where, you know, I thought people who, you know, were religious were loony bins, because that's what my experience was as a child. And now I'm a full believer. And I used to be really afraid of death. In fact, when I was a kid, this is something that I'll share. I had a little bit of an OCD when I was a kid, and my mother says that it was because there was one of my fellow students, I think I was like in third grade, her father got killed in a hunting accident suddenly. And I started having this huge like nightmares about death and really scary stuff. And it dominated my thoughts. And, you know, I was like 8 years old. And we all really, you know, death is a scary thing. It's really a scary thing, because again, we don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know how it's going to happen. And not knowing stuff is scary. But I mean, would you really want to know, you know, if it was going to be like in 3 weeks, would you really want to know? What would you do in those 3 weeks? Makes you think. I just choose to live. Yeah, I think I'm going to live past 100 and then just leave it at that. And I got a lot of time. But two books that have really, really profoundly helped me is The Journey of Souls, Case Studies of Life After Lives that I mentioned. That book erased all fear of death for me. I don't fear. Knowing that I'm here eternally, my spirit is here. Yeah, I'm only in Lori Wright's body for a period of very short period of time in the larger scheme of things, a blip, in fact, but I'm going to come back as somebody else, and I'm going to continue to grow as a spirit and learn as a spirit. And that unique spirit that is me is never going to go away. And it was just so, it was very comforting. That book was very comforting to me. And also to know the people that you love who have passed, you'll see again. You'll connect, and you're continuing to connect, is what I believe. Even though our human mind, our race mind, does not. And then the other book is somebody, and I had these ladies on my podcast. In fact, it was episode 32, if you'd like to take a listen. Fascinating, fascinating story. It's called Beyond Ever After, is the book they wrote. And the episode title, I can't remember. It was something like coma patient, you know, something about a coma patient, but episode 32. But the book is Beyond Ever After, A Heart-to-Heart Journey Through Death and the Afterlife. And Catherine Weisenberg and Jocelyn Montanaro are the two that share the story. It's Jocelyn's husband, Kevin, who goes into a coma and then dies. And Catherine helps her through that journey, helps them through that journey, I should say. So those two books, if you're curious about learning more, if you're somebody who fears death a lot, then you might want to look at these books. And I this was a kind of a crazy, like going into Lori's mind episode, but I hope it helped. It was for me, you know, I had tears. Definitely, you know, in the memorial service and in the paddle out ceremony, and, you know, just more for the loss that, you know, Kathy has for John, that, you know, her life is now without him. And that makes me sad. The human, the nurturer, the empath in me, it makes me sad. But yet I had this beautiful moment of understanding or recognizing that it's okay, because it's the evolution, it's the transcendence of a very, very amazing, wonderful soul. So until next time, my next episode, I believe, is going to be involving my grandchildren. So I'm thinking about how I'm going to put that together, but I'm leaving on a jet plane today to go see my four old, well, I shouldn't say they're my four oldest, because yeah, I have two, they're my oldest daughter's four is what they are. And they live in Charleston. So I'll be going down to Charleston, spending some time there. And then I'm going to be heading back with three of the four, the older ones, because the two-year-old's going to stay home. So she'll be sad, but that's okay. She'll get over it. She won't remember it, hopefully. Her soul might, but hopefully her human mind won't. But yeah, so I'm gonna talk to them about abundance. I'm going to hopefully get some really good nuggets that I'm going to share, because I think it'll be really fun to hear from a perspective of a little human mind what's going on up there. And I'm excited to, you know, just see what unfolds with that. So yeah. So we go from death to youth is the, what we're going to be doing next. So until next time, take care and be abundant.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes. If you have an Apple device, you can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at notyouraveragegrandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.